Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I mean, you can't really replicate anything. It's a different team. Yeah. Understanding the weapons that they have now and what we want to do this week. It's going to be on us. It ain't really too much of the play calling. It's going to be on us to make it happen.
That was Khalil Mack. Hopefully we'll be hearing his name a lot tonight on Sunday Night Football, Bears and Rams. This hour is brought to you by Land Rover Chicago, just off the Kennedy at Armitage Avenue. Hour three, I'm Recamp alongside Tony Gill.
Yo.
Done a lot so far today.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue to do so because we're going to go out to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline and welcome in one of our favorite guys. He covers the NFL and the NFL draft at Yahoo. He, on these airwaves, has interviewed Ice Cube. He is a great guy to talk football with. It's Eric Edholm. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. Eric, how you doing, man?
Good. I'm doing well. I may bring a little background noise with me. I'll apologize in advance. I've got an angry dog and two screaming children. I've tried to hide myself in the closet. So we'll the best we can today. I apologize.
I'm sure there are many parents that have tried to do the exact same thing in that same scenario, regardless of having a conversation with us.
Yes, so, no doubt about it.
So I saw that you just tweeted out at Eric_Edholm. About Tua Tagovailoa's injury, so we might as well just start there.
Sure.
Of just the impact, what impact this has for his draft stock, the quarterback class, and selfishly we think about the Bears either this year or next year, looking at a possible first round or top of the second round quarterback.
Yeah, no, I mean it's going to be fascinating to see how it all plays out. Obviously, we're hoping for the best for his health and everything. You want him to have a full recovery, and that I took that from the statement from the team surgeon, which was, he's expected to make a full recovery. So, people comparing it to Bo Jackson or more recently Dennis Pitta or other players who've suffered a dislocated and or a fractured hip. Until we get some sort of semblance of progress, in his rehab, an updated medical report weeks and months from now, it's really, really hard to say what's going to happen. I don't think he's going to play college football again. I think you guys would probably agree with me that, a guy who hasn't made it through a season as a starter healthy the last 2 years probably isn't going to risk it at Alabama again, probably going to enter this year's draft. But it most certainly hurts him, right? Because, this is an injury that probably is a multi-month thing. He's probably going to miss portions of next year's off-season training. We don't know if he'll be able to work out prior to the draft, any of that stuff. It definitely clouds the picture. I think, if you thought Joe Burrow was quarterback number one heading into Saturday afternoon, you certainly think that now. And I don't know that there'll be a consensus, but as grave as it sounds, I think the guy that it probably benefits the most is Justin Herbert at Oregon. Statistically, very similar numbers in terms of the touchdowns and interceptions. He was sort of viewed as maybe a player who hadn't progressed all that much over the last 3 years, but somebody who's got, upper level talent in a lot of ways. So, whether Tagovailoa drops out of the first round or not, I still think, assuming the medical reports come back pretty clean and pretty positive, it's hard to imagine a situation where he'll drop out of round one at this point. But things change all the time.
I think when you said drop out of the first rounds, every Bears fan's ears perked up. But just kind of like a follow-up question to the Tua. Did Saban stick with him too long, in that game, considering where the lead was? I think it was maybe like around almost two minutes left in that game. Knowing the glass cannon, that he is, that he needs to be protected, at all costs, knowing his injury history, I just personally, I felt like Saban was really pushing it in terms of how long he went with Tua in that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as if this is a player who's never been hurt before, right? I mean, the one ankle last year, the other ankle most recently this season. You know, he'd had other little things along the way. I think, you know, it's fair to say that they were already kind of worried about that other injury prior to the hip getting hurt. And who knows? I mean, maybe he was favoring it in such a way that made, you know, compromised himself or, you know, made himself more vulnerable to suffer the hip. We have no idea. But I think your point is absolutely valid in the sense that Saban chalking it up to wanting to get to a little more 2-minute work up, you know, what was it, 28 points at that point?
Yeah.
I think Nick regrets it. I think he absolutely felt like he, you know, looking in hindsight, he should have taken him out. So, yes, there's reasonable blame. It's not as if, you know, a perfectly healthy player suffers a broken bone in a large score where we can say he should have taken him out. Well, if the guy's never gotten hurt before and you really feel like you have offensive issues to work out, that's just bad luck. This is clearly a different situation, I think, and I think you're right about that.
We're speaking with Eric at home here on The Score. He's Tony Gill. I'm Rick Camp with you until noon. I guess looking at Bears-Rams now, the Rams are the better of the disappointing teams at this point, right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, obviously things haven't gone according to plan for them. You know, they've obviously geared up with all their aggressive moves the last several years. But, I mean, even this season and, you know, going out and getting Jalen Ramsey, making a change at cornerback, they've done this draft pick for veteran, you know, swap more than once. You know, they've had Todd Gurley on a somewhat of a pitch count, I guess. And so, yeah, everything they've done appeared to be gearing up towards making another Super Bowl run this year. Hasn't quite worked out that way. You know, just defensively they've been disappointing. Offensively they've had a lot of stalled drives. The genius of McVay is now, I can't believe we're saying it, but it's suddenly being questioned here. But yeah, I mean, obviously, there are a lot of things that have gone wrong, and yet you know, this is still a team that I think probably has, even with a tough division, a tough schedule, a path that you could see them making the playoffs and still being a viable contender. It's a little harder to make that projection, I think, with the Bears, you know, based on what we've seen and what we know and what's ahead. But they're not out of the picture either. But, yeah, I think that's a fair way to categorize the two teams.
A matchup that I'm particularly interested in is the Jalen Ramsey, Allen Robinson matchup.
Yeah.
We've seen, you know, teams do it similarly with their star cornerbacks. Just, hey, just have him follow Allen Robinson around and see how Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky adjust. What do you project this matchup to be, and who do you think comes out on top in that matchup?
I mean, I'm a big Allen Robinson fan, and I mean, know the numbers obviously are, you know, it require looking beyond the statistics to see, you know, how good he's been. There have been times, obviously, where he's beaten his man or even had safety help over the top, and we see the ball go elsewhere, whether that's Mitchell Trubisky's fault or the protection or whatever it is, and you say to yourself, you know, this, I believe it's a $14 million receiver who's just not getting $14 million production for a variety of reasons. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to look back at the coaches' tape after this game and see who wins the individual reps between those two, assuming they do match up and assuming that's how the Rams choose to play it. Because there may be times when Robinson's beating his guy, assuming it's Ramsey, and he's not getting the ball. Or, you know, unless they have a real specific mission on making that happen, you know, it may go elsewhere. So, you know, that's going to be the thing. He could end up with 3 catches, 42 yards, and, you know, Pro Football Focus will give him a high grade because he was doing his job at a high level. So that's where those matchups get really interesting and tricky, is that you can't just box score scout on those. You have to look at the big picture and say, was he consistently getting open, or was the corner doing his job and locking him down? And that's what made it tough to get him the ball.
How does that, you know, affect Mitch when he's, you know, seeing an elite corner on a guy that he basically stares down at times?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I don't know, because I'd love to hear you guys' take on this. You know, obviously I haven't been around the team on a daily basis this season more like I was last year, but there clearly have been times to me from afar where Mitch's confidence has been shaken and where it seems like he's overthinking and overprocessing and, you know, almost sort of micro dissecting every little thing here and trying to figure out how to fix this problem that, you know, seems almost unfixable on some level. So how does an elite corner, the presence of a great defender, affect him, whether it's a pass rusher or whether it's a lockdown corner? My guess is it can't help. He doesn't have necessarily the brazen confidence to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to my guy no matter what. Even if it's tight coverage, I believe in Allen Robinson. That's not the kind of quarterbacking I've seen from Trubisky. So I can't help but think that it's going to be a little bit of a deterrent for him.
Yeah, it's not probably not going to be great. I know that's
that sums it up right there.
That's that's hashtag analysis for me. Okay. So there are other teams that are more fun to talk about and watch. As you look at this Week 11 slate, is there any question that Houston-Baltimore is the game of the weekend?
I need that every day of my life.
Oh, right. Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember that game between Clemson and Louisville back in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what a roller coaster ride that thing was. Yeah. You know, it was, you know, even with mistakes here and there, I mean, it was just a fun brand of football. And I'm not saying that's exactly what we're going to see today, but it's hard not to imagine these guys aren't going to show out a little bit and, you know, carry some of the swagger that they've earned, you know, through some great seasons here. You know, Watson's done it a little longer, a little more consistently, whatever. But there are people who firmly believe that Lamar Jackson is maybe a notch ahead of him on the, you know, the MVP totem pole or whatever. So you've got these two young quarterbacks whose styles are difficult to prepare for, difficult to find in other quarterbacks in college or the rest of the NFL, going head-to-head. And it's going to be a game I think we'll look back on, whether it has Super Bowl implications or not. I think, like that Clemson-Louisville game 3 years ago, I think this is one we're going to remember. Assuming both guys are playing at the level they have to this point, they're just so fun to watch. They have that poise and that moxie, that athleticism, that arm strength, all the, you know, even when they make mistakes, you can say to yourself, you know what, they give themselves a chance, or give their teams a chance, rather, to win the games because of what skills they possess. So, two fun players. I can't wait to see that one unfold.
So you're saying the Bears should have met more with Deshaun Watson. Is that what you're saying?
And full disclosure, like I had Watson. You guys remember when he came out, he had that 17 interception season. He was throwing some hero balls up there that year. And it was almost like, yeah, I trust my receivers too much. You know, there was a little bit of that going on. I had Watson as my quarterback number one. But I had Mitchell Trubisky pretty close behind him. Mitch had a really, really good final season in college. The difference clearly was Watson had been doing it for 2 years and at a higher team level as well. So it's, you know, hindsight obviously what it is, but there were a lot of people like me who didn't have a whole lot separating the two of them. Now we can question whether the Bears did their due diligence on the matter. That's a whole different issue.
I mean, that story that came out this week with Rich Campbell and Dan Reeder certainly was a shock to a lot of people, media included, you know, about just how locked in the Bears were. And I know, you know, we went from, you know, the bigger picture in the league to back to Mitchell Trubisky. But, I mean, when you see all these young quarterbacks performing the way they are, it's really disappointing, and it hurts a lot of Bears fans that the Bears just didn't do their due diligence in terms of making such an important decision, you know?
Yeah, and you know, I had a former scout, a guy who's now enjoying the fishing and retirement life, but he'd been doing it for a long time and had hit on some quarterback evaluations, had missed on some. He said, for whatever reason, this always stuck with me in the back of my head, he said, for whatever reason, with scouts looking at quarterbacks, he said, it's almost like that love affair. He's like, you tend to fall for a guy and you can't quit him. You know, you see a play or a game or just enough tape to the point where you say, that's my guy. Yes, these other guys are really good at what they do. I'm sure they'll make fine quarterbacks for other teams, but this is my guy. Now, not every scout may do that. Not every general manager gets that locked in, but it does feel a little bit, having read that story and knowing what I know, that, you know, the Bears did seem to have their guy pretty early in the process and kind of treated the rest of it as if it was, you know, just sort of procedural. You know what I mean? Like, let's go through and let's look at them and everything. But I don't know what to say. I mean, I will say this. I know of at least two other teams, and not counting the Bears, that had Trubisky as their QB1. So they weren't the only ones, guys. And I'm not, that doesn't make any better for Bears fans, but I'm just saying it wasn't a consensus at all in that draft.
So Ryan Pace is essentially that kid in high school that has to be in a relationship the entire time. that's pretty much, I could trade up for Leonard Floyd, and I really love him. Oh, trade up for Trubisky? Sure. Oh, okay. Anthony Miller? Yeah. David Montgomery? Sure. One every year. Just got to trade up. Got to always have that person. I don't know.
Yeah. Look at his record. And say, he's had conviction at the time of making the pick on those four guys. He has made, even if they're small moves, like two spots for Floyd, one spot for Trubisky, what have you, second round for Montgomery and for Miller or whatever, we're still saying that he was aggressive, more so than, and people are always clamoring for their GMs to have that kind of aggressive stroke. So, sometimes it doesn't work exactly according to plan.
Eric, what do you make of the Colin Kaepernick workout?
Oh my goodness. How much time do we have? I really don't know what to make of it. And I hate to say it like this, but I'm really kind of ambivalent about the whole thing. And I don't know how much has changed. On the one hand, do I feel like the NFL kind of, dealt him a pretty strange hand by just saying on Tuesday, this thing is happening on Saturday, take it or leave it. Yeah, of course I do. It's bizarre. It's unusual. You don't see workouts on Saturday very often. You don't see this kind of a setup ever. I don't remember any kind of, all 32 team workout for one unemployed player like this before.
No.
But at the same time, I can also fairly say that I think Kaepernick's camp had a plan B in mind. There were, the changed venue was announced. My guy, Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports, who lives in Atlanta, left that, flowery bench for the Falcons facility 5 minutes after it was announced, drove the 60 miles to this high school field. Security was already set up. Cameras already set up. There were reports from people saying they saw people coming in at 9:30 in the morning. So it almost felt like Kaepernick and his camp wanted to have this on their terms, no matter what. And again, the NFL was going to say, no way, this is our show. You're welcome to attend. This is your opportunity. Both sides were being extremely stubborn on this thing. So did he throw well? Looked like it, yeah. Those type of pro day setups, it's more a deal where if they look poor, it hurts them more than looking good helps them, if that makes sense. So I don't know. I still don't think he ever plays in the league again, but I've been wrong on these types of things before.
I think we're both with you. Eric, really appreciate the time this morning, and always enjoy getting a chance to talk football with you.
Yeah, good hearing both of you guys. So I'll talk to you guys down the road.
Sounds good. That is Eric Edholm. He does NFL draft for Yahoo. He's just a great dude.
Great dude.
Yeah.
Man.
Fun guy to talk to. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. So there's been, in the time the show's been going on, a new interesting wrinkle in what happened yesterday with Colin Kaepernick.
Okay.
And the workout. So we'll bring that to you next. He's Tony Gill. I'm Rick Camp. We are here with you until the top of the hour. On the Score.
Y'all been attacked for the last 3 years. Y'all continue to be attacked. We appreciate what y'all do. We appreciate you being here today. We appreciate the work you do for the people and telling the truth. That's what we want in everything.
That was Colin Kaepernick after his workout yesterday. The bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field when the Wildcats host Minnesota on November 23rd. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. So I mentioned that there's an update on what we were probably most interested in the Colin Kaepernick workout is what teams were going to be there, all that kind of thing. And Tony, you saw something that changes what we thought we knew.
Yes. So we had a list of teams that supposedly went to the workout after the venues changed. There were eight teams, and the Buffalo Bills were one of them listed initially. But now the report is that the Buffalo Bills weren't there after the venues changed. So that leaves a mystery team that we don't know.
Ooh, mystery team. And by the way, that was both of those, the initial list and the follow-up, were reported by Adam Schefter from ESPN. Mm-hmm. So he was the one that put those out. But that is interesting because The Bears were reported to be one of the 25 teams that did make it to the Atlanta Falcons facility where the initial location was. Mm-hmm. So I guess now you can't really rule out the fact that it could have been the Bears mm-hmm. as that mystery team. There are also plenty of other teams that it could have been that were amongst those 25, but at least now you can't definitively say, unless there's other reporting, that the Bears were not there. We know how sneaky Ryan Pace likes to be, and sometimes he prioritizes being sneaky over good evaluations. But, you know, he likes to have his people be a little more under wraps, so you can't rule out the Bears as having been that team.
Yeah, I mean, for the rest of – from at least from what I, you know, can gather is – the Bears were the only one concerned about their current quarterback's mental psyche
yeah.
in terms of what this could mean for them. So for me, it's a good chance for me that, you know, they made that trip to the next facility and kind of just stayed low key about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, for the other teams, I mean, why wouldn't you want your name out there?
Just sure.
Say, yeah, we checked it out.
If nothing else for PR.
Right. For the PR push, like, hey, we saw it, it wasn't for us, which is fine.
Yeah.
But for the Bears specifically, knowing that the quarterback struggles, you know, with confidence, and this was certainly could have been, you know, a jab at the confidence. So, you know, hopefully they checked them out.
Right.
Hopefully they're exhausting all options
yeah.
to fix the quarterback position, because if they say they are and they didn't make that effort, you know, to go, it's like, well, you're kind of a liar.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, that the Bills weren't the team. If you didn't hear, the Bills weren't the one of the eight teams.
Yeah. So boy, the things to talk about with Ryan Pace at his end of year press conference, you know, one of the tours
going to be no,
two
no,
to four.
No,
he does even, all year.
Ryan Pace does a pregame hit
with WBBM
yep. every week. So
this
if you want to at least get an initial, now it is kind of,
yeah,
you know, I don't know the word to use for it.
Well, that's why it's like,
it's in a comfortable setting for him.
Yeah. Well, like that's why I say one of the few times, because it's not in front of the assembled media.
Right.
It's
Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer. They're employees of the Bears.
Well, the thing is though, like if you've listened to the last couple weeks, like,
Jeff has been asking
questions.
Yeah, direct questions.
Yeah, like I give him credit, because like there are a lot of people in that situation that would, you know, just, you know, do whatever.
Dance around the situation.
Yeah, dance mm-hmm. around it maybe. But no, Jeff's been asking real questions.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. credit to Jeff Joniak for doing that, because he's mm-hmm. absolutely done that.
Yeah, and I know for sure tomorrow, you know, on the Lawrence Holmes show, we're going to replay it.
Yeah.
So you guys can hear if he was asked, you know, about, you know, the Kaepernick thing and what's going on with this season. That's something that going forward, especially now,
mm-hmm.
Now that we kind of have a picture, a good picture of what this team is.
Yeah.
And what they're probably going to finish.
Sure.
We want to hear what Ryan Pace has to say throughout all of this, and you're going to want to hear it as well.
Absolutely. Or you can obviously listen to the Lawrence Holmes show, as you should every mm-hmm. day. Also listen to the WBBM pregame show, too.
Yeah.
This WBBM pregame show. We have our pregame show. Toggle between the two. Stay with us.
Yes, you covered.
Yeah. It's the Sportsbook and Ameristar pregame show with Hub, Olin, Pat Manley. After the game, Hub and Big Cat for 2 hours. If you want Bears coverage, there is so much of it.
Yeah.
We have a lot of it. And actually, to transition back to that, one piece of audio that I wanted to make sure to play today,
mm-hmm.
Sage Rosenfels, who's a former NFL quarterback, is on the Bernstein and McKnight show every Tuesday. He's our Tuesday morning quarterback. It's in the open. and boy, he was strong. Like, he's been really strong in evaluating Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy in terms of the offense and how much it makes sense. And it's funny, another voice that's in the open for him is Brad Childress, because Brad Childress was the head coach in Minnesota when Sage signed there. And this it was about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
Sage had some not-so-kind words for someone that has a fairly prominent role in the Bears' offensive room right now.
Nagy comes from the Andy Reid coaching tree, and there is now basically a documented history, I would say, other than maybe Doug Peterson, who's having a lot of success, but there's been a lot of coaches who have struggled who were Andy Reid's, you know, quarterback's coach or offensive coordinator and went somebody else. You know, Brad Childress was a terrible play caller and play designer. yet he was somehow Andy Reid's coordinator with Don McNabb. And when they were going to championship games, was it about 4 years in a row or whatever that, you know, four out of so many years. And so there is this issue here that I find interesting. That sort of, again, there's a pattern with the coaching stuff.
Brad Childress is the name that sticks out of that cut. Like, it's, you know, you've got the sirens going off. And I say that because a lot of us don't really know exactly what he does here. Because,
oh, yeah, I mean, everywhere. What does Doug Collins do? What does, I mean?
Yeah, like that, like the consultant-y type guy. Yeah. You don't know exactly what his position is, but he is more or less on the coaching staff. So I was listening to the Bear Download podcast, which is Rich Campbell and Dan Weeder of the Tribune. And they mentioned, I heard Rich say specifically that Brad Childress is as involved as anyone, I would assume outside of Matt Nagy himself, in the offense right now. So as much as we think of Mark Helfrich, and as much as we think of Dave Ragone, you should be thinking of Brad Childress on that same level. And when you hear the not-so-minced words by Sage Rosenfels on Brad Childress, that really throws up a red flag for me in terms of what could maybe be different this year with the offense in terms of play calling, in terms of scheme, in terms of that kind of stuff that's different from last year. I do wonder how much input Brad Childress has and if that's affecting what's going on with the play calling. But as I think back to it, and mind you, my mind is fuzzy on Childress's Minnesota teams, I don't feel like they did too much that was that outside of the box where it felt like they were just trying too hard, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, what, he had the Brett Favre, you know, late Minnesota years? That was him. Yeah, that offense looked
pretty decent,
yeah.
I mean, they had a lot of talent, too, mind you, but still.
But, yeah, I mean, again, it just goes to just the amount of brain power and amount of effort that has been put into this offense and to Mitchell Trubisky, and for it to look the way it's looking, that doesn't seem good.
No.
Just to keep it simple, I mean, it doesn't seem well that a lot of energy and effort was put into this thing that's supposed to be dynamic, that was supposed to be open and fun and entertaining in prime time, and for it to have regressed this much is a shame. It's a shame, and they have to look at its entirety from Ryan Pace on down, you know, from ownership, you know, on down. Like, what went wrong this year?
Yeah.
Like, there's an explanation for it. There isn't, you know, a, well, you know, football. You know, like, no. There is a reason why it has declined as far as it has.
There's a 217 texter at 670-11 that brings up, stop forgetting the offense sucked late last year. Yes. 100%. Starting with the Rams game last year when Mitch Trubisky came back from injury. Ever since then, I've been tracking, and this just shows really, it's more just about how much of a nerd I am, every scoring drive that the Bears have, and also how many big plays. And I'm just defining big plays as
20 plus
yards. That's all I'm using. Sorry, trying to multitask by logging into my Gmail to pull up my spreadsheet because, you know, but nothing, I mean, better than being the guy that has a bunch of spreadsheets. But it just shows how futile this offense has been and how dependent they've been on turnovers or great special teams plays that get them scores.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned to you before, you know, when I was watching the condensed game before we started our show, and shout out to the condensed games. Yeah.
They are, you know, when condensed games are the best? Baseball season.
Yes. Condensed baseball games are, if that's how we all enjoyed baseball, I'd be the biggest baseball fan.
Right.
Ever.
Like, there's obviously stuff you miss, but for us in this industry, when it's our job, but we're also trying to, you know, have lives here or there, or also just consume as much as we can.
Yeah.
You need those every once in a while. You need, boy, that's clutch.
So when I was watching it and I was like, I mean, this looks like current Mitch. That game looks like the same Mitch from today. And I was like, winning cures a lot of this. Like, we were just obsessed with the Bears are winning games and winning a lot of games and winning tough games. But the Mitch looks the same. So, I mean, our eyes were just not looking where we were supposed to look, even though, like that texter made a great point, late last year, all the way up until this year, the offense has struggled. And that's a testament to a larger issue.
Wouldn't a lot of these issues have to deal with self-scouting as well, though?
100%. Absolutely. That's one thing that I have that I think goes underrated. And it's not just with the Bears, but just kind of in general, is we always talk about scouting the opponent and, you know, all that stuff. But self-scouting, man, because think about it. Coming out of the bye, last couple of years, the 2 years with Matt Nagy, it's been a problem. It absolutely has been a problem.
Well, Olin brought up a good point last week's pregame. He was saying that look at their coaches on that offense. They're all a bunch of quarterback coaches or former quarterbacks. So the first thing he said is, as a lineman, the first thing I'm going to do is point my finger at everybody else.
Yep.
So if you're talking to a bunch of quarterback coaches or former quarterbacks, they're not blaming Mitch. They're not blaming Mitch for anything. How many times do you hear it in post-game press conferences? Oh, this receiver ran the wrong route.
Mm-hmm.
This lineman missed his assignment. This guy did this. This guy did that. And there's no real self-scouting going on. The way it looks to me is they are putting Mitch in this bubble and just saying it's everybody else's fault, not yours.
Right, because then it can't reflect on themselves near as much either.
Exactly, and what's Matt's like big thing? It goes, we look at the how and then the why.
Like PJ Fleck.
Yeah, doesn't he always say that though? He goes, we look at the how, so we go back and look at the tape and we see how it has, and then we look at the why and see how we can fix it. Well, you're not really looking at how to fix it if you're not telling Mitch what he's doing wrong.
Exactly, and to be fair, it could just be that they're not saying it to us. Mm-hmm. That is possible. I'm not saying it's likely. I'm saying it's possible. That they are saying.
I mean, they're
certainly
holding everybody else accountable in public.
And the thing is, like, on the whole, they just don't get enough easy drives, easy plays. Like,
yeah, everything is really hard.
So since Mitch came off the bye last year, 14 games for the Bears. The Bears have two players that have had more than five plays of plus 20 yards. Only two. Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel. That is it. So it's not good. That's why every single throw gets, you know, criticized the way it does, mind you, because a lot of it, because it needs to be, but also they need so many of them to get down the field.
Yeah.
To get into field goal range, especially with the way Nagy's been calling the offense with not as many runs, especially not as many runs out of formations that have been advantageous to getting yards at this point. This is what you end up with. Dink and dunk and sideline to sideline. And the thing that I used to like about, especially last year, what the Bears would do a lot, they would start out a game going sideline to sideline throw, screen here, screen there. But you know what they would do? They would attempt to catch the defense anticipating that and hitting someone up the seam. Whether it was Anthony Miller or whether it was Trey Burton, they would do that. And obviously Trey Burton on IR, but that's something else that they're missing. All right, we're going to take our last time out, come back. Tony and I we got one more segment. We'll keep breaking down the Bears. Get your thoughts on what you want to see from the Bears today. 312-644-6767. You have any lingering thoughts still on Colin Kaepernick and the workout that happened too? We're here for you. 670-11 on the text line. He's Tony. I'm Rick. We're here with you till noon on the score.
Yeah, as far as that, you know, we were pretty heavy last year in the gun, gun-wise, and we've always been that way. As you're kind of searching and looking for different answers and solutions to the offense, some of that became under center. And so we're trying to figure out how much of that do we want to do, how much the success that we're having balanced with what we know as well and trying to, you know, combine them. So there is certainly more of that.
That's Bears coach Matt Nagy. This segment is brought to you by your Chicagoland Papa John's. Papa John's is giving you a free pizza this weekend. Buy one pizza at regular price and get a second pizza of equal or lesser value for free. Use promo code FREEPIZZADAY on the Papa John's app or online at papajohns.com. That's promo code FREEPIZZADAY. I'm Rick Camp alongside Tony Gill for a few more minutes. A reminder that at 4 o'clock, since the Bears are on Sunday Night Football, you will have the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show with Hub, Olin, Patrick Manley. And after the Bears game, hopefully they won't hopefully they'll keep it respectable for the in front of the national crowd. Yeah, in front of company. Then you have Hub and Big Cat breaking it down for 2 hours after the game. And that's when we get to our usual Built Ford Tough Bears Monday lineup. So you'll have Les overnight leading into Mully and Haw, Bernstein and McKnight, Lawrence,
yeah,
McNeil and Parkins, yeah, Joe, leading up to Monday Night Football. So that Built Ford Tough Bears Monday is brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Built Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. So as we get down to our last few minutes here, mm-hmm, by the way, we're not going to, I don't think it's the right spot to do any like Tony's leaving things because he's not leaving yet.
Yeah.
Like Tony's still got a couple weeks.
Yeah, so I got a couple weeks and then I got a week off before I start my new gig.
Yeah. So we're not going to do any of that today, even though it is your last on air shift.
Yeah. It's funny. I just started to get on air.
Yeah.
On air shifts. And now, well, it was fun.
Right.
See you guys.
Right. Oh, you're putting me behind a mic? Deuces. Like, no. No, it's going to be, yeah. It'll be an interesting couple weeks. That's all I'll say. It'll be fun to see how everything plays out for all of us. Because, you know, you're not going to be easy to replace. So that's what I'll leave it at for now.
Thank
so. Hi, Adam Sudzinski.
Hi, Adam Sudzinski.
I assume he's going to be on the board starting at noon. So Adam Sudzinski is in the building. All right. So as we wrap up here, Bears Rams, what's your feeling? Do you remember what you put on the website? Because I forgot like the score that I put on the website.
I forgot the score, but I did pick the Bears.
Really?
Yeah, and it's only by, you know, if you have been following our predictions on 670score.com, like the way I pick who wins is a bit different. It's not really based on any, you know, thing specifically like in game. Like last week, I picked the Bears.
Yeah.
Because I went after Kenny Galladay to be on the show, and Detroit Lions PR didn't even return my email or my calls.
Which is lame because Kenny Galladay's a local guy, went to St. Rita, mm-hmm, then came back and played his last couple years of college at NIU.
At NIU, yep. I picked the Bears for that reason. I picked the Bears to win against the Rams today, and it's because they haven't paid Mitchell Trubisky yet. And the LA Rams have paid Mitchell Trubisky.
Their version.
Yeah, their version of Mitchell Trubisky West.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what?
Mitch does love the Cali vibes, though.
Yeah, he does. So I picked the Bears. But in all seriousness, the Bears certainly do have a shot to win this game.
Yeah.
I mean, they're basically the same team as the Rams, kind of same similar situation. Right now, the Rams are record-wise better than the Bears, but this is certainly a game to be had by the Bears. And if they still want a fighting chance for that second wild card spot, they got to get this one.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the Rams are more hurt offensively, which their offensive line's been an issue anyway. They lost a couple of their guys from last year. Mm-hmm. And then they've started a couple new guys, and they haven't even, now they're not even healthy, missing a couple of the starters they had going into this week. So how Jared Goff deals with pressure is going to be huge. I really think the biggest key to this game, can the Bears pass rush get home?
Yeah.
Because if they're able to, you can force Jared Goff to be inaccurate, make some mistakes, maybe force some turnovers to give your offense some short fields. Because as I look at my old Bears scoring drive list since Mitch came back from the injury, it's a good amount of these that have either been in garbage time or they've been started by a turnover or a really good special teams play.
So now we're looking at Leonard Floyd.
Leonard Floyd as well.
Mid. You know, can you be above average? You know, which he's been, you know, he's been okay.
Yeah.
You know, but we need to see him play at a top 10 pick level.
Agreed.
Roquan.
Dude, man,
you gotta play better, man.
At least his aggressiveness has been better than that first week or two after he had his week where he was out.
Mm-hmm.
But if that guy, I mean, really, in an ideal world, we talked about Nick Kwiatkowski earlier and his role. In a perfect world, when the Bears go down to one inside linebacker, you'd want it to be Roquan Smith. That was part of his thing from the draft, is that he can cover guys down the seam a little bit, mm-hmm, but with the way he's played, I don't know how you can put that much trust in him. So the Bears have had to get a little bit creative with that. So he absolutely needs to be better. By the Sportsbook by Ameristar pregame show, Former Bear fullback Jason McKee is going to be on at 5 o'clock. Hmm. His son, by the way, doing a really good job as a DB I spaced on his kid's name because his son is a DB for NIU.
Oh, okay.
So he's been making plays.
Okay, cool.
So I appreciate him for what he did for the Bears and for having a son that now helps out NIU. So that's exactly where we are. It all comes back to that. The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field when the Wildcats host Minnesota on November 23rd. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. All right, I've got the Rams winning.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I said something like 23-13 or 20-10, something along those lines. I'd be lying if I said I remember for sure because I thought I had emailed it in to Cody, our web guy, and Bulls beat guy. Follow him at Cody Westerland on Twitter. And then he's like, yeah, I didn't get the email. So I just like typed it out in text and just sent it to him while I was on the train. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure it was like 23-13 or 20-10. Rams over the Bears.
Get yourself together now because it's
believe
time.
Me, I need to. The end of this show, getting myself together before I go home is much needed. All right.
This was fun, Rick.
Absolutely. It's always fun to get to talk to you when we have our normal conversations on the other side of the glass during Lawrence's show.
You guys
show.
Got a small look into what goes on.
Very filtered look.
Yeah, super filtered.
Super filtered
Ooh, man,
look.
Man, if somebody gets our conversations, nope. Man.
We don't need that. Then you won't have the new gig, and I'll lose the one I got. So we don't need that happening. Thank you to Chris Dickens for producing us today. Thanks to Will Perdue. Thanks to Eric Edholm for coming on. Thanks to you, the listener. It's fun getting the response and interacting with everybody out there. So make sure to be back here, 4 o'clock, Sportsbook and Maristar pregame show, Hub, Olin, Patrick Manley. 5 o'clock, Jason McKee is going to be on. He's Tony Gill. I'm Rick Camp. This is The Score.
See you guys.
Hey, look at us.
Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
So because you ha! Goodbye!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.